What is the biggest misconception about the worship wars? I've written an article for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Behind the Music, The Real Worship War. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues, etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also contains Hisham Chihab's article, From Muslim Extremist to Follower of Jesus. Subscribe to the online Issues, etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
When I hear Mitt Romney say that he believes that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's the Christ raised from the dead, that he's his Savior, that's good enough for me. I realize Mormonism is not traditional Christianity, but I believe there are things that are the same, but there, you know, obviously there's, if you get deeper into it, there's things that's not traditional Christianity. But again, I'm trying to reach the biggest, broadest group, and my net may be a little bit wider when I see somebody that loves the Lord. I try not to exclude them, but to rather include them. Mormonism's a little bit different, but I still see them as brothers in Christ. If they believe in Christ, they're my brother, they're my sister.
That's Joel Osteen answering a series of questions on CNN with Wolf Blitzer. Answering the question about Mormons, does he consider Mormonism Christianity? Well, maybe not exactly, but he does believe that Mormons are Christians if they believe in Jesus Christ as Son of God and Savior, and that's good enough for him. They're a little bit different, but not different enough to make a difference in the mind of Joel Osteen. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, September the 24th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about the beliefs and practices of Mormonism. How different is it from historic Christianity? Is it Christian? And answering all of your questions and your comments about the beliefs and practices of Mormonism in the first hour of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest for the whole first hour. You can join us as well. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-6943. You can send us an email, questions or comments right here in the studio. We get them in real time. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or leave a question or a comment for Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on Mormonism at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. A little bit later, in hour two, George Conger will join us from getreligion.org. We'll talk about the Cairo Benghazi attacks and the publication of some Muhammad cartoons in a French magazine that had the French officials fearful, even shutting down diplomatic stations there in fear of attacks. Pastor Farooq Khan will join us after that. He's a native of Pakistan. We will talk about the burning of a Lutheran church in Pakistan by Muslim protesters. And we'll round off hour two of Issues Etc. with Dr. Andrew Steinman. Our series on the Apocrypha, we'll talk about a book called The Wisdom of Jesus, Son of Sirach. It's not Jesus, Son of Mary. It's Jesus, Son of Sirach. We'll find out who he was and what this book is all about in hour two of Issues Etc. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is a regular guest. He's professor emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England, a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He is distinguished research professor of philosophy and Christian thought at Patrick Henry College, and he's author and editor of more than 50 books, including Christ as Center and Circumference, that's his latest, and Christ Our Advocate. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
How do you respond when you hear someone like Joel Osteen, who obviously has the ear of many, the ear of the media, and of course of just tens of thousands of followers in his church and millions on the airwaves, when he says, you know, Mormon's a little bit different than Christianity?
His remark is simply ridiculous. It is ridiculous. It shows what happens when it's possible to become a pastor with no adequate theological training. The fact of the matter is that Mormons deny the Holy Trinity. You cannot be a Christian denying the Holy Trinity. It's as simple as that. And to say that Mormonism, therefore, is simply not traditional Christianity is absurd. Mormonism is not Christianity in any sense of the word. The test for being a Christian is not, as Joel puts it, to love the Lord, unquote. I mean, that's a subjective kind of affair. We don't know what's meant by Lord when somebody says this. The only way to find out is to determine what the individual means by Lord, and in the case of Mormons, they do not mean the second person of the Holy Trinity. If you don't believe in the Holy Trinity, you are not a Christian, full stop, period. There is no way in the world that a Mormon can be identified as a Christian. The most awkward part of this is that Joel is deceived by the fact that Mormons constantly try to present themselves as evangelical Christians. They build their buildings that look like churches. They use a form of service which would be very similar to what you find in the Evangelical Free Church or among the Baptists. They sing evangelical hymns, but none of that is relevant. The only relevant thing is what they in fact believe. And it is maddening that it's possible for a well-known pastor to make statements like this. This is misleading on every level, whatever.
I think he's operating from kind of the common experience that many of us have. We know Mormons. We have them in our neighborhoods. They are some of the nicest, most family-oriented, and generally, at least outwardly, moral people that you will ever want to meet. And we'll, and there are some who would say to you, Dr. Montgomery, how can you say they're not Christian?
Listen, a person can be ethical, moral, a good chess player, a nice person to take your daughter to a dance, and still not be a Christian. The issue of whether one is a Christian is not a question of their inner feelings. It's not a question of their external actions. You can't observe someone from the outside and determine by that alone whether the person is a Christian. There's a cartoon some years ago, and it showed a Boy Scout taking a little old lady across the street. And the caption, it's the lady speaking, but I don't want to go across the street. Now, from a distance, that looks like the scout is doing exactly what he should do. The fact is that our actions are not determinative per se. This has to do with the motives behind our actions, and the motives are connected always with one's fundamental beliefs. So you've got to find out what in fact a person believes before you make any judgments as to what religion to which they properly belong.
You started by saying that Mormons explicitly reject the teaching of the Holy Trinity. That would be that God is one God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal, in a nutshell. If they reject that, which is kind of an elemental biblical teaching, what do they substitute in its place? Who is the God of Mormonism?
Well, the God, traditionally in Mormonism, the God is a very physical kind of a fellow. He gave birth to Christ in some physical sense. The beliefs of Mormons are truly bizarre. To go back to the beginning of the whole business, Joseph Smith, early 19th century, in upstate western New York, not too far from where I was born, said that the angel Moroni came to him with golden plates and with two stones, the Urim and the Thummim, on the basis of which he could translate these golden plates, and he thereby produced the Book of Mormon. Okay, now, the angel Moroni then conveniently returned to heaven with the golden plates. So this turns out to be what the analytical philosophers call a case of analytical meaninglessness. It is totally impossible to determine whether or not the Book of Mormon is a translation of anything. And in 1834, professor of classics, Charles Anthon, denied that he had told one of the early Mormons, Martin Harris, that the Book of Mormon characters resembled Egyptian. In the first editions of the Book of Mormon, Charles Anthon is labeled as one of the witnesses, for goodness sake, of the truth of this stuff. And Anthon, who was a distinguished classicist, vehemently denied that he had had any judgment, that he had made any judgment along this line. The fact is that there is no way in the world to verify this stuff. And if you go to the books themselves, the Book of Mormon and the other scriptures of Mormonism, you find the most bizarre kind of theology, such as that the lost tribes of Israel ended up in the Western Hemisphere and supposedly, therefore, provided a historical basis for proper religion in the Western Hemisphere. This sort of thing.
So this view of God, you mentioned here earlier that he is ultimately kind of a physical being. No, well, it's not kind of a physical being. He's an elevated man who has given birth to every human being that we know of. It is, even if it weren't for the Trinity, this is a view of God that is utterly foreign to that presented in Holy Scripture.
Well, it certainly is. God is the Spirit, as presented in Holy Scripture, and the Trinity is central to an understanding of who God is. Goodness, the Great Commission, go baptize in the name, one name, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, I and the Father are one. Okay, and he says of the Holy Spirit, it's expedient that I go away, for otherwise I would not be able to send another comforter. And the expression for another there is, in the Greek, another of the same kind qualitatively as myself. So Jesus identifies himself with God the Father and with God the Holy Spirit, and two things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. So the Holy Spirit and God the Father are identified by Jesus' own teaching.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. We're talking about the beliefs and practices of Mormonism. It's Monday afternoon, September the 24th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the beliefs and practices of Mormonism. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. Dr. Montgomery, one of the premises of Mormon belief, and it really does come out very clearly in the writings of Joseph Smith, both in his accounts of his various visions by which he claimed to have the revelation of Mormonism, and other things that he had to say as the living prophet later in his career as the leader of Mormonism, is that Christianity, historic Orthodox Christianity, was apostate. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, yes, he considered himself as providing a further revelation, a revelation that went beyond the New Testament, and it now is comprised in the holy books of Mormonism, namely the Book of Mormon, of course, the Pearl of Great Price, and Doctrines and Covenants. And the idea is that the Bible is to be read in terms of those Mormon writings and understood in terms of those Mormon writings. That's why you will find in a certain hotel chain owned by or operated by Mormons the Book of Mormon in the hotel room, not just the Bible. The Bible itself is not sufficient. And indeed, you could never, as long as you lived, derive Mormon teachings from the Bible itself.
So the story starts with Joseph Smith here. He gets this revelation that all of Christianity is apostate, that there needs to be a new revelation. And then there is the authority that is afforded not only to his writings, but to the person of Joseph Smith himself, and then all subsequent prophets of the church. Can you tell us about this?
Well, yes. The most important aspect of this, though, consists of what these writings say. These writings indicate that there is a religious quality to the Western Hemisphere that no one would ever have discovered by looking at the Bible. The lost 10 tribes of Israel ended up in the Western Hemisphere, and you have, therefore, a religiosity connected with the Western Hemisphere that's unique. It's an opportunity for people like Americans to feel that they are more a part of biblical history than they would ever have discovered from Holy Scripture. Instead of making one's connection with God through the gospel of Jesus Christ, one makes it also through this historical revelation, which allegedly came through Joseph Smith.
Who is Jesus, according to Mormonism?
Well, he's an example. He's an example to be followed, not a savior from sin. He is very definitely the Son of God, but the Son of God not in the sense of one who redeems us from our sin. The Mormonism really boils down to a religion of works righteousness. And, in any religion, if you have an inadequate understanding of sin, if you don't understand sin properly, then you never have an adequate understanding of redemption. And in Mormonism, you've got this problem all the way through. In spite of the gospel trappings of the whole business, one is ultimately saved by obeying Mormon teachings and living the right kind of moral life.
Do, as far as we can tell, and this is difficult to pin down because the Mormons are kind of coy about this officially, do Mormons still honestly consider Orthodox Christians apostate, as far as we can tell from what they officially believe and teach?
Oh, in practice, I don't think you'd find Mormons willing to say this. And, of course, it's particularly important not to say this if you want to identify yourself with the general evangelical community, and they're desperate to do this. This coming election is a, you might say, a godsend for them because it seems to identify their leadership with with Christianity. And then when you have people like Joel Osteen, and you've got Liberty University inviting the presidential candidate to speak in their chapel, this sort of thing, it all seems, everything seems to come together. Mormonism is really just another denomination, and this is absolutely not the case.
And I take it that were Joseph Smith or Brigham Young or the earliest leaders of Mormonism, were they around to observe this today, they might be shocked to find their descendants wanting to be perceived as evangelical Christians.
Yes, I think that's probably so. But at the same time, the fundamental beliefs are still there. And the same scriptures exist. These scriptures are really bizarre. I mean, for example, the Book of Mormon allegedly reflects Old Testament times. And yet, in the Book of Mormon, there are innumerable quotations from the New Testament and references that can only be understood if one sees that the author of this was well acquainted with the King James Bible. How can anything like that be the case? And there has never been one whit of archaeological or other evidence to back up the notion that the inhabitants of Central or South America had any connections at all with ancient Israel. In fact, very recently, there have been DNA tests done that have shown that the natives of Central and South America connect with Polynesia. As a result of this, there have been a lot of people who've left the Mormon faith because this directly contradicts what the Book of Mormon is saying.
So how does this work? Because a Christian, if he wants to, is able to find all kind of verification, all kind of reinforcement, if you will, for the historical claims of Christianity in the archaeological record, in the historical record, and of course in the eyewitness testimonies that we refer to as the New Testament. They are there and they're replete. The Mormon has to live on an almost daily basis with having the historical claims of his faith unproven and sometimes disproven. How does the Church of Latter-day Saints teach them to cope with this?
Well, I'll give you an illustration. Some years ago, my wife and I are minding our business in Strasbourg, France, and a knock comes at the door on a Saturday morning, and I open the door, and there are these two gentlemen dressed in funereal black suits and short haircuts. And I said to them, in French obviously, well, you're either CIA who finally caught up with me, or you're Mormons. Which is it? And they leapt into the air with a shriek, and they admitted they were Mormons. So I invited them in, and one of them was an American speaking abominable French. It was just too awful for words. But he was over doing missionary work, just as the Republican presidential candidate did in France for 2 years, trying to convert people away from Orthodox Christianity, right? And the other one was a French Mormon who was there to learn how to do missionary work. He was the apprentice. So they sat down, and I said, of course, well, why do you think Mormonism is true? And they said, because of the burning in the bosom. It seems that Mormon bosoms burn at a higher centigrade than non-Mormon bosoms, something that I had not realized. In other words, all they would do is talk about their inner experience. And if I were the member of a religion or cult that, as you say, has absolutely no objective means of verification, I guess I would be reduced to the burning in the bosom as well. But this is really sad.
So, in other words, they are taught to appeal to their subjective sense of the truth of it, or to some other what they believe to be source of revelation that Mormonism is true.
Yes, and this is, as you say, it's subjective. There really isn't anything that can be done objectively with this. Let me give you another illustration of the problem. One of the portions of the Pearl of Great Price is the so-called Book of Abraham. And Joseph Smith claimed that he had translated this from an Egyptian papyrus. It seems that there was a mummy salesman wandering around in upstate western New York at that time, and Joseph Smith got some papyri from the wrappings of the mummy. This always has seemed strange to me because, as I say, I grew up in an area not far from there, and I never met a mummy salesman in my whole life. I would have loved to meet a mummy salesman. In any case, this translation was entitled by Joseph Smith, The Book of Abraham. Well, the original papyri were thought to exist no more, that they had just disappeared. But the Metropolitan Museum of Art, of all things, actually had them. And the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York gave them to the Mormon Church some 20 years ago. And at that point, it was possible to compare Joseph Smith's translation with the original papyri. I'll talk about that after the break, right?
Yeah, that'll be fantastic. Anxious to hear what the rest of the story is. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. We're talking about the beliefs and practices of Mormonism. What is the biggest misconception about the worship wars? I've written an article for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Behind the Music, The Real Worship War. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues, etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also contains Hisham Chihab's article, From Muslim Extremist to Follower of Jesus. Subscribe to the online Issues, etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
How would you like to win a 4-CD set of 45 Reformation hymns? It's titled Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church. Now here is how you enter this contest. First, like the Facebook fan page for Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, facebook.com/Lutheran Public Radio. Second, post an invitation for your Facebook friends to listen to Lutheran Public Radio. And third, send the text of your Facebook post and the number of your Facebook friends to contest@issuesetc.org. We'll give away this 4-CD set, Heirs of the Reformation, to the contestant with the best Facebook post and to the contestant with the most number of Facebook friends. We'll announce the winner on Monday, October the 1st. Participate in a Facebook contest for Lutheran Public Radio during the month of September.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
The sharpest arrow in your apologetics quiver. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Hobby Lobby is a chain of arts and crafts stores in over 40 states. Every Christmas and Easter, they run a full-page ad in our local newspaper sharing the true Christ-centered meaning of the holidays. Recently, they've taken another stand, this time for life. They're filing suit to stop the Health and Human Services from forcing them to provide free abortion-causing drugs with health care. This includes the so-called emergency contraceptive Ella, which clearly aborts a baby in the womb. Hobby Lobby founder David Green says, "We have always operated our company in a manner consistent with biblical principles. We seek to honor Him in all we do." As a result, pro-abortion activists have launched a boycott of Hobby Lobby. So let's show our support by shopping there and telling them why.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We're talking about the beliefs and practices of Mormonism. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest, professor emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England, a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States, distinguished research professor of philosophy and Christian thought at Patrick Henry College, and he's author and editor of more than 50 books, including his latest called Christ as Center and Circumference and Christ Our Advocate. You can find out all about this book and all the books from Dr. John Warwick Montgomery at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Montgomery, you were in the middle of a story, a papyri recovered from a mummy salesman by Joseph Smith. He claimed to have translated it, and then these papyri were later found in the custody of a museum, and they were able to compare the translation with what Joseph Smith claimed had been his translation.
The Metropolitan Museum of Art actually in 1967 gave these original papyri to the Mormon Church, but then it was possible to compare the translation that, in quotation marks, that Joseph Smith had done between 1835 and 1842. And not a single word of his translation had any connection whatever with the contents of the papyrus. He produced this Book of Abraham, saying that the papyrus had to do with Abraham. And there are in the original there are reproductions of the illustrations, right? And these are supposed to be Abraham and Sarah and so forth. The fact of the matter is that the original is a Sensen papyrus of the same genre as the Egyptian Book of the Dead. And what is actually pictured there is Osiris, the infernal deity who transported the souls of the dead, for example. And it was Osiris that Smith identified as Abraham sitting on Pharaoh's throne. I mean, the whole thing is a farce. None of it has anything to do with the original papyrus. And Joseph Smith, of course, wouldn't have known enough Egyptian to buy a hamburger at the equivalent of McDonald's in Cairo, had it existed at that time. Yet, this is the sort of thing that is part of Mormon scriptures today. That's part of the Pearl of Great Price.
Now, we should point out here that this isn't like, say, for instance, if we were to discover somehow that Martin Luther had forged or created some sort of bogus document. That would be scandalous enough, but we do not invest Luther personally with any kind of authority. But the Mormon Church, especially there at the very beginning of the Book of Mormon, does invest Smith himself with a personal authority bordering on the divine, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. But of course, the point here, it seems to me, is that part of the Mormon scriptures consist of an alleged translation which isn't that at all, which has absolutely nothing to do with what it was from the document from which it was supposedly translated. That's got to say something about the nature of this material. I mean, how could that stuff possibly be divine revelation under those conditions? And if that sort of thing happened with the Book of Abraham, then what about this claim that the Book of Mormon itself is a translation from golden plates which were returned to heaven? The whole thing, there's a pall cast over every bit of it, which is so serious that it seems to me that anybody with half the brains he was born with could not possibly go along with it. And if I may say so, this is my opportunity to rant and rave about the coming presidential campaign. See, I think that people are whole persons. I don't think we're schizophrenics and we can put our religion in one compartment and the rest of our life in another. I think that the way we think religiously is bound to impact the way we think in other respects. And I myself cannot vote for anybody who religiously would hold to any of this stuff. I think that the person has got to have a screw loose somewhere if he holds to this sort of thing. And if that's the case, it's going to impinge upon the maturity and intelligence of his decisions in other respects.
So you're talking about not even with respect to how these things square up against Christian doctrine, vis-a-vis Christian doctrine. You're talking about just the veracity of the material itself, and that one would need to have a certain level of gullibility or a lack of judgment to believe these things.
Yes. Yes, I'm saying that exactly. I think this is really serious because when you're electing the president of a country, and that country is the most powerful country on earth, and the president has executive power to engage in international conflicts and, you know, all sorts of other things of tremendous seriousness, influencing hundreds of thousands of people, that person must have maturity, balance, and a worldview that one can appreciate. And if that isn't the case, you know, I don't think that such a person should ever be elected to such an office.
So certainly there's listeners at this point who are saying, Dr. Montgomery, to be fair, the other candidate in this case, President Obama, has a Jesus that is as well, perhaps as little credible, kind of a Jesus who is, more like Che Guevara than perhaps the Jesus of Scripture. What would your thoughts be there?
Well, at least he has not swallowed this kind of cultic nonsense. And that says something in terms of his general level of judgment. Heavens, I feel very sorry that there could ever be a national election where the only choices are the two that are apparently before Americans at the moment. I think this is very sad. I hardly support the policies of Obama, but at least he has not identified himself with the kind of cultic nonsense that we've been discussing. And it seems to me that, therefore, he shouldn't be put in that same category. And I don't know exactly where he is in terms of historic Christianity. He does, however, identify with a historic Christian church in a general sense. But I don't know. But one thing is perfectly plain, and that is that in the case of Romney, he is not identifying with historic Christianity at all. And I am particularly appalled by the fact that he spent 2 years doing Mormon missionary work in France, attempting to convert people from Catholicism and Protestantism to a cult. In other words, he spent 2 years trying to remove them from the salvation which is available in historic Christianity. I find that utterly appalling. And the fact that he was a bishop of the Mormon Church, this means that the man is thoroughly identified with all of this. He isn't there as a fellow traveler. And if he swallows this stuff, and he must swallow it, otherwise he couldn't be anything other than a hypocrite, then he is a person, I think, who has shown imbalance, terrible imbalance in his personality and in his ability to make judgments.
Folks, what kind of questions or comments or stories, if you have them, about the beliefs and practices of Mormonism would you like to share with us? Our call-in number live this Monday afternoon. It's the 24th of September. We're happy to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet @issuesetc, or leave a question or a comment for Dr. Montgomery on the beliefs and practices of Mormonism at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Here's a question, Dr. Montgomery. This one comes from Ken in Winter Park, Florida. He says, early in the history of Mormonism, the leaders of the movement did not consider themselves Christians and went out of their way to distinguish themselves from Christianity. Why have they now reversed this and now try to identify themselves as evangelical Christians? Why do you think, Dr. Montgomery?
Well, this is a very, very wise move on their part, and it certainly is in order to have a greater impact in modern society. If one is considered sectarian or cultic, one remains enclosed in that situation. They don't want that. This is a church, in quotes, this is a religious organization that has a great deal of money and requires of its people 2 years of missionary work if they are really serious about what they're doing. And with that kind of desire to expand and the money to be able to do this, they have got to break the barrier between the sects and cults, on the one hand, and the general religious environment in the United States, on the other. And Americans are traditionally naive when it comes to doctrine, but very strong on tolerance, so that if they can present themselves as simply another denomination, Americans are not going to want to criticize them. Not at all. We want to be nice to everybody, and of course we don't get excited that our next door neighbor is Presbyterian while we're Methodist. Huh? So why should we get excited about the Mormons as long as they are within the general ambit of what we regard as standard religiosity? So the Mormon expansion is dependent very largely on their being able to present themselves as something that they are not.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. We're talking about the beliefs and practices of Mormonism. 10 more minutes with him on the other side of this break. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening, we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at ChristLC.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the beliefs and practices of Mormonism. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Montgomery is director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, held each summer in Strasbourg, France. Dr. Montgomery, briefly tell us about the Academy.
Well, it's the only Institute of Advanced Studies in the Defense of the Faith anywhere. It's a wonderful 2 weeks with four top apologists, people who have been dealing with various kinds of unbelief and presenting the case for Christianity all over the world. We take 20 people, and only 20 people, each summer. And during those 2 weeks, there is a great deal of contact with the professors and with each other. During that time, it's possible to learn how to answer the major objections that are presented today against historic Christianity. Those objections are presented and the best answers are provided. And all of this takes place in the French Rhineland, right on the German border in Strasbourg, France. We're only 2 hours from Paris, 2 hours from the Swiss Alps, 2 hours from Heidelberg in Germany. So it's an absolutely wonderful experience on every level. This has been going on for 17 years now, and people have gone back enthralled by the experience. We strongly recommend that listeners to Issues, etc., consider this as soon as possible, because when the number of registrants reaches 20, that's it. There are also a number of $1,000 scholarships available for the program, which can reduce the cost of it from less than $3,000 to less than $2,000. So we really recommend that the listeners to Issues, etc., and they're on our wavelength automatically if they're listening to Issues, etc., get in touch with us as quickly as possible if they'd like to take part in the program.
Folks, you'll find a link to the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Let's go to the phones and to St. Louis, where Bruce is waiting on the line. Bruce, thanks for waiting.
Yeah, I thought Dr. Montgomery's comments about not being able to vote for a Mormon because of you thought the guy was too gullible to hold high office. Luther said he'd rather vote for a Turk who was competent than a Christian who wasn't. And I don't know, it's I was a Mormon for 15 years. There's a very strong spiritual aspect of Mormonism. I got answers to a lot of prayers. Obviously, some of them were false answers. I prayed about Joseph Smith. Obviously, I got a false answer, but I saw healings. I saw answers to prayer. So there is once you're inside the thing, looking at it from the outside is one thing, but when you're inside it and things are working according to your beliefs, I don't think it's so easy to see the falsity of it.
Bruce, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in St. Louis. Dr. Montgomery, your thoughts?
Well, I don't think it's a question of looking from the inside or looking from the outside. I think it's simply a question of whether this is a religious position that represents the truth or not. Any cult or religion has an inner sociological sense of meaning to those who are in it. I mean, people feel good as members of a group. Among religions that are totally non-Christian on every level whatsoever, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, people think that their prayers are being answered. They think that this is one wonderful thing. But that isn't the issue. The issue is simply whether the religion is presenting the God of the universe as he has revealed himself. And if the religion is doing anything other than that, then, get away from it. Get away from it as fast as possible. The only prayers that are genuinely answered in non-Christian religions are the prayers for further enlightenment, to be brought closer to the truth. And God answers these prayers. But the religions of the world that contradict Holy Scripture and the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are not to be regarded as good simply because they attract members and make the people feel good who are inside those groups.
Dave is listening in Maryville, Missouri. Dave, thanks for being patient.
Oh, no problem. Pastor Todd and Dr. Montgomery, thank you very much for taking my call. It's always a pleasure, Doctor, to hear you on the program. I guess my question is, I think not long ago I heard I believe it was a spokesman for candidate Romney, talking about that, I guess, some of the Mormon doctrines that we hear about, such as, you know, eventually attaining godhood, having, I guess, your own planet, so to speak. I think they were saying something about, oh, well, this really is something that misrepresents us, that is not really a doctrine that's stressed anymore. Is that really the case, or are they just trying to, I guess, hide something?
Dave, thank you very much.
Well, those particular teachings are certainly not stressed in contact with the general public, and particularly before a national election. But it is a teaching of Mormonism, and I quote, as man is, God once was. As man is, God once was. As God is, man may become. Now, I don't know how you could possibly take that other than to believe that God and man are so close to each other that we can achieve perfection. As far as the planetary thing is concerned, if I had enough time, we could deal with that. And that is certainly still part of the Mormon picture. But much more serious are things like the ironic emphasis on family values. The fact of the matter is that Mormon families are so paternalistic that there is a very high divorce rate within Mormonism. There are now, for example, wives recovery groups, divorced wives recovery groups of wives who have simply not been able to tolerate the dictatorial paternalism of the Mormon families. This is not, of course, publicized at all, but it's an indication of the fact that even from a social standpoint, this is not a healthy religious situation at all.
Jeremy, for a final question for you, Dr. Montgomery, from Mount Morris, Michigan, has this question, saying, Dr. Montgomery, when talking to a Mormon and introducing the gospel, what's the best starting point? He says, differences in theology regarding God, salvation, works, good works understood, etc. What is the best starting point with the Mormon?
In my view, the best starting point is to go through the Gospel of John, because from the very beginning to the very end, Christ is presented as the eternal Son of God, and he presents himself as such. And salvation is made absolutely clear as a matter of personal belief in him. That's what you want to deal with. You want to get the person to face the Jesus Christ of Scripture as compared with the Jesus Christ presented in all of this Mormon stuff that goes under the name of Scripture, but which is, you know, bizarre, unhistorical, unverifiable, and, you know, if we want to be unpleasant, a lot of nonsense.
Dr. John Warren Montgomery is Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's Distinguished Research Professor of Philosophy and Christian Thought at Patrick Henry College, and he has authored and edited more than 50 books, including his latest, Christ as Center and Circumference and Christ Our Advocate. Dr. Montgomery, thank you again for all your time.
Great pleasure.
In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., we're going to be spending some time, well, with a number of guests. First, George Conger will join us. We'll talk about media coverage of the Cairo and Benghazi attacks. He says there's a difference between the U.S. coverage and the international coverage. We'll also talk about the publication of a Mohammed cartoon by a French magazine that had the French authorities shutting down diplomatic stations and embassies in that country for fear of further attacks. Then, a little bit later in Hour 2, Pastor Farouk Khan will join us. He'll explain to us the burning of a Lutheran church in Pakistan by Muslim protesters. And we'll round off Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., live this Monday afternoon, September the 24th, doing another installment of our series on the Apocrypha. We'll talk about the book of the Apocrypha known as Ecclesiasticus or The Wisdom of Jesus, Son of Sirach. Now, this Jesus is not Jesus Christ, but Jesus, Son of Sirach. We'll find out who he was, what this book is. Martin Luther referred to it as a very useful book for the pious householder. That's what he said. We'll find out what that means with Dr. Andrew Steinman in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Folks, you can help us defend the faith and teach the truth by making a tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues, Etc. and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And as usual, thanks for listening, and thanks for your support. Well, what do we have here? We have a pretender to the true Christian faith. We have a counterfeit. And if you look at it, you just barely scratch the surface, you realize that it's not a very good counterfeit. The best of all counterfeits looks so much like the real deal that they fool sometimes even the experts. But one does not have to look very deeply into the teachings and the practices of Mormonism, its historic claims, its books that it claim as authority, their origins, to discover that this is not much of a counterfeit. It doesn't resemble the original at all. In fact, maybe counterfeit isn't the right word for it. Maybe simply lie is a good word for it. Now, it's a harsh word in today's climate of political correctness to say that, well, someone who rises to the candidacy for the highest office in the country, millions of others in the United States and worldwide are believing a pretty cheap lie, but folks, that's the size of it. There is truth out there in Jesus Christ, but it's not found in Mormonism. Hour two in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the faith, teaching the truth. Issues Etc.